Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Germany, France, and Italy are becoming the leading nations of Europe. But that is not good news for the United States of America, for Great Britain, even for some European nations, and for the rest of the world. I have here an article by Deutsche Welle writing this on July 17. The leaders of France, Italy, and Germany urged all foreign actors to stop interfering in Libya and to respect the UN arms embargo on the country. The trio hinted at sanctions as a way to enforce their position. Libya faces a heightened risk of regional escalation, said German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President Emmanuel Macron, and Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte in a joint statement on Saturday. It marks a change in tone from Paris, Berlin, and Rome. Last month, German diplomacy veteran Wolfgang Ischinger said the EU should threaten military intervention in Libya. Germany, Italy, France are becoming more and more the leading nations in an evolving, prophesied core Europe of 10 nations or groups of nations. Now, this development has been clearly manifested in most recent events. MSN wrote on Sunday, July 19, regarding Europe's fight for a financial help or rescue package for some of its members because of the coronavirus. And that was a hotly debated fight. It says Germany and France are insisting that at least 400 billion euros should be handouts, and Mark Rutte from the Netherlands and four other fiscal hawks from Northern Europe are pushing for a much lower figure. Europe is being blackmailed by the hawks, Italian Prime Minister Conte said in a statement released by his office. The Netherlands, Austria, Denmark, Sweden, and Finland are trying to water down the handouts. In addition to Austria, which has become more and more a nation antagonistic to German endeavors, we are talking about four hawks: Netherlands, Finland, Denmark, and Sweden, all nations which are descendants of the ancient house of Israel. And if you have a question about that, we have a free booklet prepared, The Fall and Rise of Britain and America, which goes into that much deeper, because this has tremendous importance for the future of those nations and for the future of Europe. But finally, a deal was reached, and Deutsche Welle wrote on July 21, EU leaders agreed early Tuesday on an unprecedented aid budget release package. European Council President Charles Michel tweeted, "We did it. Europe is strong. Europe is united." Now, it's not that strong and united at this point. Goes on to say that the breakthrough came after more than 4 days of wrangling. Merkel describes the agreement as an important signal. Macron called it an historic day for Europe. The package includes the biggest ever joint borrowing by the 27 members of the bloc and an initiative to send tens of billions of euros to countries hardest hit by the virus, most notably heavily indebted Spain and Italy. And so Italy declared it was satisfied with the results of the plan. And then the article says that 27 member states had been largely divided into two camps. Again, I say, a core Europe is developing. And also, the real nature of this deal is described in an article by Express, dated July 22, saying this: EU leaders have betrayed their citizens with a coronavirus rescue package which commits countries in the north, to put their hands in their pockets to bail out those in the South, Hans Olaf Henkel said. Now, he is a German politician, a former member of the European Parliament from Germany from 2014 to 2019, and a publicist. He was formerly a manager at IBM, president of the Federation of German Industries, and president of the Leibniz Association. And so Henkel said, according to the article, that the move broke historic promises made by European giants. These grants are a blatant violation of all promises made before. Never ever would the membership in the EU or of euro currency force Germans to subsidize others, was a promise. But this promise, made by Chancellor Helmut Kohl, by Chancellor Gerhard Schröder, and even by Chancellor Merkel, was broken last night by Merkel, the article says. These gigantic debts depend on the introduction of a new EU taxation system, a decision previously always blocked by Great Britain and, for instance, Germany. From now on, not only cities, regions, and countries will tax EU citizens and EU companies, also Brussels will. The package's justification is a poor camouflage of the true intent: to use the current corona crisis to move the EU ever closer to the United States of Europe under a socialist green flag, Henkel said. Ultimately, we will see an autocratic power in Europe, the United States of Europe. You might call it USE. Whatever label you might want to attach to it is immaterial, but you shouldn't forget that the Third Reich was ruled by the Nazis, National Socialists. Now, Germany wants a strong Europe. Germany wants an alliance with Russia against the United States. Modern Diplomacy wrote on July 22. Germany's presidency in the European Union, which began on July the 1st, may stimulate the EU into re-evaluating its role in world affairs. The key factor contributing to this is the recent move towards a deterioration of German-US relationships, a trend which is set to intensify at the November presidential elections in the USA drawing nearer. The priority pursued by President Donald Trump are at odds with Germany's agenda. In pursuit of that agenda, Berlin may face its key opponent, Washington. Not accidentally, the motto of German presidency in the EU is formulated in the spirit of Donald Trump's election slogan, "Together we will make Europe strong again." Germany's ability to succeed in addressing its agenda will depend on its readiness to become a kind of a bridge between the East and the West. Formerly, people have been talking about Austria becoming that bridge. Not too many talk about that anymore. Now it's Germany. He goes on to say, one of the factors that could signal such readiness is the completion of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline project, despite US sanctions. However, the intensifying pressure from the United States will require Germany to demonstrate yet more stamina in defending both national and common European interests, the article says. Now, the president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has declared that US sanctions regarding the pipeline violate international law. I'd like to also read to you from an interview which John Bolton gave to Der Spiegel on July 17. Now, I know, of course, John Bolton wrote a book, The Room Where It Happened. I have it right here, reading it. And there's a lot of criticism in that book regarding Donald Trump. But what I'd like to read to you now are statements by Bolton where he agrees with Donald Trump and that makes it rather interesting. He said, US-EU trade relations have been a major source of controversy between the United States and Germany. Then there's the issue of NATO and the agreement that each member state would spend 2% of GDP on defense, which Germany is behind on. US punitive tariffs on German automobiles are not off the table. Trump can do this without congressional approval. The Nord Stream 2 pipeline project is strategically damaging to Europe and the United States. He also says the problem with the European Union is that there's a lot of rhetoric about strong security policies, but not a lot of following through. You hear European leaders saying over and over again, we will defend ourselves. If people are not careful, there will be others in America, like Trump, who will say, fine, go ahead. And then he was asked the question, is there a chance that Trump will win the election in November? And here is Bolton's answer. Absolutely. He's way behind now, in large part because of the coronavirus pandemic and the economic consequences, but the polls in 2016 showed him behind as well. In my view, he said, we should never underestimate the ability of the Democratic Party to blow an election. Based on prophecy, we have been telling you, and we are repeating our long-standing conviction, that Trump is going to stay in power following November 2020. And that means the relationship between the United States of America and Germany, as well as the rest of continental Europe and other countries, will deteriorate. It will not improve. We have also prepared a free booklet titled Europe in Prophecy, The Unfolding of End Time Events. You want to read this one too? Our booklets are also posted online. So thank you very much for listening. And until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.